In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and became the Word alive. Today, His words are being shared by the radio ministry of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, sponsored by the Redeeming Love Christian Center of Nanuet, New York. Join Clinton and Sarah Utterbach now on Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Keep looking at Jesus. And do what Jesus did, and it will turn your life around. And you will turn this world around.
Hello, I'm Sarah Utterbach.
I'm Clinton Utterbach.
We're continuing in the message we began earlier this week when Paul, who has identified himself as apostle of Jesus Christ, is sharing with Timothy the importance of grace, mercy, and peace being recognized as coming from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying that he wanted him to understand that he recognized that his call was from God to the people. And so Paul really, in essence, was chosen to benefit others. And that's what we all should do.
How do we encourage people in the Lord? How do we strengthen them? How do we inspire them like Paul was doing here? Let me give you a little list of things that the Lord gave me. It's only about three. First of all, you express your confidence in the person. You express your confidence in them. Don't tell them about God's confidence in them. What about your confidence in them? Secondly, remind them of what God has done for them already by telling them about what he's done for you. And three, tell them you love them openly and then demonstrate it. Don't just give them the words. Demonstrate to them. And love sometimes says no. I said love sometimes says no. Love does not always say yes. If you say yes to every situation where your family is concerned, where your children are concerned, where your friends are concerned, you are not loving them, because sometimes no fits right there. But there's a way to say no, okay? Bob Gass wrote something in his book, The God's Word for You for Today, yesterday. He says, don't destroy other people's confidence. Stay away from all inclusive statements like you always or you never. Don't ever tell somebody you always do this, you always do that, you always say this, or you never do this or you never do that. Assure them that you have confidence in them and their ability to recover, and will handle things, that they'll handle things better the next time. Listen, correction will do much, but encouragement will do more. That's what Paul was doing here. He was not waiting for Timothy to make a mistake. He wasn't waiting for the heresy and the errors to surface. He was encouraging him, because encouragement will do more. Deal with them, please. Deal with people as an individual. The worst thing in the world anybody can do in my office is to come in there and want to talk for the whole congregation or for the staff. I mean, I have to get in another gear to keep from, you know, going back, reverting to something. Don't come in my office and tell me what everybody is saying or everybody wants. No, tell me what you want. I will deal with you as an employee, as an individual. I'll deal with you as an individual. But don't you come in representing the whole staff, because we don't have a union here. And you're not the union representative. So because I've heard too many people come with their thing and it wasn't somebody else's opinion. All you have to do is get in a staff meeting and let the person say, well, this is what was said that everybody wants. Well, would everybody speak up? And you stand there with egg on your face, because nobody will back you up at that point. So come to me as an individual. If you have something to say to me as a congregation, come to me as an individual. Don't come representing 14 other people, because 14 other people, according to the Bible, if they have something that they need to discuss with me, what are they supposed to do? Come to you, right? And so you make time for them. So here we are. Tell them you love them. Openly demonstrate. Bob says that you deal with people as an individual, but because that's the way God does it. Aren't you glad that you don't have to give an account for what I do? Aren't you glad that God doesn't lump you into my category for the sins that I do? No, he deals with us as an individual. I don't like being dealt with as a race of people. Don't tell me about all black people did this or all white people did. There's no such thing as all anybody doing anything. So when you start getting mad with a whole race of people because of what one person or a few people did, you're in serious trouble, because what are you going to do with all those other people that aren't guilty of that? No, you dress the individual that's doing whatever it is like you reward or applaud them. You don't reward a whole race of people because one or two do something nice. Compassion always, by the way, listen, I'm sorry, comparison rather, always causes resentment. When you start to compare people, Paul wasn't comparing Timothy with anyone. Today, an appeal to honor is always more effective than a threat of punishment. Paul was appealing to Timothy's honor. He was letting him know who he is. He was letting him know, Timothy, you came from a long line of people that served God. Your grandmother, your mother, your heritage is thus and so is mine, so we can relate to this thing. The Bible does not tell us to threaten anyone. It does support discontinuing fellowship with people when they continue to mess up. I said it does support. It tell you in a minute, hey, have nothing to do with them. That doesn't mean that you got to stop speaking to them, gossiping about them, and any of those things. It just mentally simply means that if the person does not repent and turn around from what they're doing, you as a believer can no longer fellowship with them. I mean, that's just Bible. And when you say, well, that's not walking in love, then the Bible is wrong. I said the Bible is wrong, because the Bible is very clear on it. Okay, somebody's looking at me like, well, I don't know about that, Pastor Sarah. I think, go to Thessalonians, please. I'll tell you whether it's the first one or the second one when I get over there. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. In verse 14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. Why? That he may be ashamed. Ultimately, you want to restore him, but if they won't obey the word of God, you can't. It's too confusing to the world out there. You professing to be a Christian, and you constantly fellowshipping with somebody and hanging out with them, and they don't want to act like the Lord. They don't want to do the things of God. Paul was saying, Timothy, you're going to get exposed to all of this in the position that you're in, and you're going to have to take a stand for what is right, regardless to the price that you have to pay. Then he said to him, grace, mercy, and peace. What is grace? Charis. It's divine influence upon the heart and its influence in life, including gratuity. What is mercy? It's active compassion, human or divine tenderness. And peace, the word means prosperity, quietness, rest, to be set at one again. Don't ever let your ministry or your relationship or your fellowship with the Lord be dependent on somebody else. The person is sent alongside to encourage you. Pastor Clinton and I are sent alongside to encourage you. We're sent alongside to strengthen you. How do we encourage you and strengthen you? By spending time with you? No. By teaching you the word of God that brings comfort. And he's saying to him, prosperity, quietness, rest, to set it one again. Paul was saying, hey, fella, I want you to know I'm with you, I'm for you, but whether you have me or not, don't put your focus on me. I may be your spiritual father, but don't lean on me, because you and the anointing on your life can pull this thing off. He's saying to Timothy, show gratitude by allowing the influence upon your life to be from the divine one. Allow him to influence your life. Show and demonstrate the same compassion. Listen. Show and demonstrate the same compassion and tenderness to others that you have received and will continue to receive. That's what it's all about. What you've gotten from God is what you give. to other people. Succeed on the road and in your business affairs. Be undisturbed. Reject chaos. This is what the peace means. And anything that interferes with the tranquility that Calvary has provided for you. To be set at one again means to come into harmony and accord with a singleness of purpose and mind. He's saying, Timothy, don't be divided in those things that are pleasing to God. If it's pleasing to God, it's not going to change. Don't try to take something over here that's displeasing to him and balance it out with what is pleasing to him. If it's pleasing to him, become single-minded about it and go with that regardless of the price, regardless of the rejection, regardless of the criticism. I want to quickly give you this, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Clinton. Go with me to Acts, the second chapter, starting at the 37th verse. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then he went on to say, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then we never focus on verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying what? Save yourself from this untoward generation. This means to turn away from the corruption of the present society. People, we can't dance with God and the devil too. You're not going to have any peace without being single-minded about the things of God. Especially in this day we're in right now, you better become single-minded and hard-nosed.
We feel honored that God has granted us the privilege of bringing you today's message. Our commitment to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ deepens daily.
Listen to Jesus is heard on 5 of the earth's 7 continents, but there is still more land to be possessed for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the directive to go into all the world and make disciples of men. We were motivated to do just that through the Listen to Jesus broadcasts.
If you're interested in a cassette copy of this week's broadcast, send in $6, making your checks and money orders payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
If you live in the United States, you may also use your Visa or MasterCard by calling our toll-free number at 888-490-RLCC. That's 888-490-RLCC. If you have access to the internet, you may listen to the broadcast at any time on www.redeeminglovecc.org. That's www.redeeminglovecc.org.
And if the teaching you hear on this program is having a positive effect on your life, you have an opportunity and a spiritual responsibility to join us as co-laborers by becoming a regular contributor.
When you give, God blesses you with a financial return according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mail all of your correspondence and make your financial contributions payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. Once again, that's Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. And remember to include the call letters of this station when you write. Until next time, this is Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're reminding you, God is alive and well,
and His word will work for you.